The Off the Ball Podcast Network. OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Right, so Electric Ireland have live streamed a number of key games throughout the 2020 season to date and will stream both Electric Ireland Fitzgibbon Cup semi-finals this weekend. Check out electricireland.ie/HEC or ga.ie/GA now to access the streams. Electric Ireland's first-class rivals campaign in 2020 celebrates the unique aspect of the Electric Ireland Sigerson and Fitzgibbon Cups, which sees the formation of unexpected alliances when county rivals unite to play for their college in pursuit of one common goal. Michael Walsh, Michael Brick Welsh, is our guest. He's an Electric Ireland ambassador. What's the name? What are we supposed to call you?
Go with Michael.
Yeah, we'll skip it there. And your surname?
Welsh.
You're Welsh. Grant. Well, that's okay. That's easy. And what's the story with Brick? Who gets to use that?
We use it on the field, maybe not in the studio.
Right, fair enough. Are you retiring Brick? Is that done? Are you no longer Brick?
Yeah, we'll take a break on it. I know, to be fair, I'm probably stuck with it for the rest of my life. It probably got caught with it in school and it has stuck ever since, you know.
How? What? Do you remember the day? Do you remember, like, it was just...
It was handed down. I think an older brother had a nickname and they just handed it down to me. But it went so bad in Waterford, people thought it was a double barrel name at one stage. So, unfortunately, I'm stuck with that and I have to get used to it. So.
What about the Brick Flick then? Is that patented?
Yeah, I was talking to doing a bit of media earlier, and we were talking about it. And I suppose the genius that came up with it obviously came up with two words that rhymed. So I suppose I'm stuck with that as well.
Could have been worse.
Exactly. Could have been a lot worse.
Big Brick energy, I think, is your. So how is retirement going?
Actually, look, there hasn't much changed yet. I suppose at the moment, like, the lads are in pre-season, you know, and they're...
Isn't that, I'd say?
Yeah, to be fair...
I was being sarcastic.
I always enjoy training, like, you know what I mean? So it is a bit of a miss, but, like, you know, I suppose I'm not seeing, like, they've two games played of significance so far, like, but when the evenings get longer and things like that, you'll probably miss it that bit more. But you know, I'm kept busy at home, and obviously when you retire from county, that's it. They don't realise you're going back to your club as well, like, you know. And I'll be obviously playing for a few more years until they tell me to give it up, and then you'll obviously have the underage and things like that to get involved in as well.
So there's a plan in place to fill your hours.
There is, yeah. But look, not a whole pile of thinking has got into it yet. I suppose I'm only gone with 4 or 5 months. I've been involved in Waterford, thank God, since I was 18, 19, you know. So that's a long while ago now, as everyone reminds me. And, you know, so it will be a big change for me. But not yet, I suppose. When the evenings get longer and when you're starting to go to the matches and things like that, that'll be a big thing when you can't impact an outcome of a game or anything like that. That's a big change, you know.
Why did you stop?
Look, in fairness, I was very lucky to keep going for as long as I did. I was extremely lucky that managers wanted me for that period of time, and I knew at the end of last year it was time to go. You know, I'd enough. But as I said, I was very lucky to play as long as I did, and at any time I could have been told I wasn't wanted anymore, you know what I mean. But I was lucky to get as far as I did.
Was it a clear-cut decision?
It was, yeah. I was lucky enough, I suppose, to come back last year and play again, like, you know. But, you know, because it's probably 50-50 probably the year before. But then, you know, you get back into it and you drive on, and then you make your decision again last year, again at the end of last year, you know. And look, I was happy. I played for as long as I did and enjoyed as much as I did.
There must have been a slight temptation with a new manager coming in to just give it one more year.
No, look, I knew, like, in fairness, they're very lucky with Liam Cahill. I'd say he's an excellent man, like, you know, but he knew I wasn't going back, and I'd say he was probably happy enough I wasn't going back as well. But you know, look, he's building his own setup and his own team now, and in fairness, it's about GAA, and any sport is about youth, and I was lucky, as I said, to enjoy it for as long as I did and be part of it for as long as I did. But it's all about younger players now, and Waterford have numerous younger players coming through, and hopefully they'll get their chance and take it this year.
Have you gone to any games yet, or are you going to leave that off for a while?
I didn't get to go to the Cork game. I was hoping to get to that. Obviously the Westmeath game was up in Westmeath, but no, I will. I'm going to look forward to being a supporter. I haven't been a supporter with, as I said, with the bones 20 years, I suppose, nearly. So I'll enjoy getting back to that. I suppose the only difficult thing from a past player's point of view is when you hear people being so critical of players. Like, you know what I mean? It's hard to sit in the stand and people cutting up players that have obviously put in the time and effort and work, and things mightn't be going for as well on the day. You know, people don't realise you might be a good player and you might be trying your best, but you're on a fella that's the best in his county and he's obviously trying his best, and people don't appreciate that some days it goes for you and some days it goes against you, you know.
Can you hear that when you're playing?
No, I never, to be honest about it, people would say to me it was a great atmosphere or there was a great crowd there or whatever. I actually wouldn't be able to tell who was there or whatever, you know what I mean? It's rare. I suppose when you're so focused on it, and yeah, particularly the inter-county, like there's rare that there's a game where there's only, like the lesser people, you're more inclined to hear that at a club game than you are at a county game, you know?
Yeah, I'd say, and as the county player playing in a club match, sometimes you get it more than everybody else.
Ah, you do, because I suppose, number one, I suppose you're on the ball a bit more, like, you know what I mean? Maybe in some circumstances, and you may not touch the ball either, you know, but people are expecting a lot, and sometimes, again, it goes for you. But when people, it's easy for, often an inter-county player playing a club game, he draws attention from two or three other watching out for him, like, and they're cutting him off, and other fellas can play well, and they're saying, where's my inter-county player? He's not touching the ball, or he's not doing this. But that is the way they draw attention from opposing players and from opposing supporters and even their own supporters.
Yeah, it is kind of attention-seeking. I want to ask you about the Fitzgibbon before we get into some other stuff. You won three Fitzgibbons, is that right?
Yeah, I was lucky to be part of an excellent WIT team. I was playing in two and I was a sub for one. And
who was on that team? Was it Henry?
I'm not younger than Henry Shefflin. obviously Henry went before, and I think he won two Fitzgibbons, you know, and they kind of started Waterford in terms of WIT, in terms of winning, but there were some fantastic players like JJ Delaney was one of the main men, Ollie Morn was down in WIT, but there was fantastic names, and I know I'm naming out the inter-county fellas, but of that era there was club players that never, that's the nice thing about Fitzgibbon, you have players that never go on to have an inter-county career and they can be staring at college's level, and you know it's still the same, like, you know, there's you see the players that are involved at the weekend are fantastic players and household names, a lot of them, but nowadays it's different. Back then, like, to put two back to back, which UCC are obviously trying to do at the weekend, is very hard nowadays, because when I was playing you probably had three or four teams that could win it. Now there's six or seven. The standard's gone very, and I suppose it's a change in the culture of Ireland that you have people going to third level now that you didn't have maybe when I was there. A lot more trades going on when I was going to college, you know, and you see it now, there's like Mary I, Carlow IT, DCU, like the three of those, like when I was playing, they wouldn't have been looked at as a strong, but over the last 5 or 6 years, particularly Mary I, when you look about it, if you spoke about it 20 years and say Mary I in a Fitzgibbon Cup semi-final and they won one there recently, you wouldn't think it, but it's just the change in Ireland, I suppose.
Do you think we need to protect these competitions?
Oh, 100%, yeah. I enjoyed it immensely playing in it. You know, I suppose the inter-county competitions take precedent, unfortunately, over a lot of games, and it's easy for me to say that now that I'm out of it. But I think the colleges is a massive thing. If you asked any of those players, like, what do they want to be involved in, obviously they'd love to be winning Fitzgibbon. You see that the Cork team, and I know I'm picking out the high-profile fellas, but they're obviously mad to win another Fitzgibbon medal, and that's what it's all about. And they're getting the opportunity to play high-profile games, you know what I mean? And that's the thing. We all, like, if you speak to a 5-year-old or a 30-year-old in any sport and ask them what they want to do at training, they all say, I want to play a match. So, they, you know, with the Fitzgibbon, you get to play with it. I suppose maybe more work and realisation needs to come from management that these players have a training schedule with their county or whatever, and I suppose not to. When we were in WIT, we had a right idea. Like, we didn't train that much together. We'd meet up, but we wouldn't train a huge amount because most of us were inter-county players and had
training,
and you didn't want to suffocate fellas with training either. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Good crack.
I was, like, WIT was, at the time, was a smaller college, like the three I probably mentioned earlier, a smaller college, well, perhaps not TCU, but the other two, they're a smaller college, and it's a kind of a community, the GA, people know themselves, they're meeting every day, and they know themselves, and or know each other, and they're playing together, and they're trying to win together, and that was it's kind of a community within a college, like, you know.
Yeah, you've also got the whole aspect of the league not being as important as it used to be, with no relegation. You've got these pre-season competitions in January, like, I think the message should be, let them off the leash, let them play Fitzgibbon or Sigerson in whatever, in football's case, and just let them play this football, because who knows, they might come back having learned something new or picked up something from playing with people from different counties.
100%, yeah. Like when I was there, there was a lot of Kilkenny, and it's great now from a Waterford perspective. This last 5 or 6 years, there's been a huge amount of Waterford players on the WIT team. But when I was going to college down there, there used to be 6 or 7 Kilkenny fellas, so they used to be Blagairden and calling it KIT at the time, as opposed to WIT. You learn from other players, and you get to see what's going on. And like I always say, like JJ Delaney, he was on our team, and he was playing corner back, and he was hurler of the year before. And I said to him, we were training in January, probably February, and I said to him, and I was only getting to know him at the time, he had a great year the year before, or last year, and this was January, I'd say, February max, and I said to him, he had a great year, and he said to me, well, it's over now. So it's a bit of a realisation that you park your success and move forward.
So you do actually you do swap stuff, it's not like...
You do, yeah, you do.
You're not killing each other in training, a little bit.
Little bit.
I'd say those training sessions were good. When you look back, when you made the decision to retire, what did you look back on and think, yeah, I like that, or Jesus, was there an itch that you didn't scratch?
Look, obviously, I, like everyone, my biggest thing was, I suppose, to win in All-Ireland. When I came onto the inter-county scene, first Waterford, where they probably had won the Munster final in 2002, which is a massive step for Waterford at that time, from where they were coming from. But like my career, I suppose, I would have loved to win in All-Ireland, and I suppose that was the ultimate goal, and unfortunately it was unsuccessful for me. Like, it'll always be a disappointment for me. Like, it's not as if I think about it every morning or anything like that, but that's what you want. I always wanted to finish the year as a winner, you know what I mean? And I never was. Probably, obviously, wasn't good enough, because, you know, a team, like the best team always wins, and there's no point in saying otherwise, you know?
I'm not sure about that. Sometimes teams get a bit lucky. It's very rare, right? And that Galway team was a great team. You were also a great team. That Mayo team that never won in All-Ireland, they were a great team. But we've had this conversation a bit recently. Conor McDonald was in with us. He's obviously younger and has just come off a season where I think Wexford will always think that was a really good chance for them, because they had Tipperary on the rack, and then Tipperary was so far ahead of Kilkenny, they will talk themselves into it, and they beat Kilkenny already. So I want to play you this clip, if we can just turn the sound up on this. So here's Conor McDonald. We were asking him if it's worth it if you're not winning All-Ireland. Have a listen.
I would be very, very disappointed, if, especially with the panel that we have now at the moment, and the group of players that we have, and the kind of core group we've had over the last 5 or 6 years, if I was to wind up not winning an All-Ireland with those, I'd be telling you a lie if I thought I'd be happy with that. That's just straight up. If I winded up not winning an All-Ireland, I'm sure if you asked, you know, the likes of Brick Walsh, who has been unbelievable, he's picked up all stars, he'd trade them all in, I'm sure, you know. He's just one example of so many.
Yeah, he is a good example, though, because I think the rest of the country thinks he's had a great career.
Yeah, sure, I agree. I think he's had an unbelievable career. He's been a stalwart for them for so many years. I don't know whether he would measure success on that.
Sure, he does.
I'm sure he does measure his success. But if you don't win an All-Ireland, I would say you measure your success differently after your playing career is over.
So obviously we were talking about you in your absence. I apologise for that. It's a very rude thing to do. At the same time, it's a great career. Like, the missing medal is just a missing medal. It shouldn't define you, I don't think.
Well, to be fair, I probably agree with Conor. I know it's probably over the top, and maybe some people might look at it as harsh, but it's something like, realistically, you go out every year. It's all about team success, you know what I mean? I admire individual sports people. I don't know how they do it on their own. They're fantastic, to be able to do it, to drive themselves on when they might be having a bad day or might be sick or whatever. I'm part of a team, I was part of a team, and my ultimate thing was to win with them, you know what I mean? So I was never too pushed on individual awards. That's not what I was doing, to get individual accolades or individual awards. It wasn't about that. It was the 10 minutes after winning a game. That's what the biggest thing for me was, the running around in horrible conditions on a December night or a January evening or whatever. That was all to win the ultimate. And there's no pity or anything like that. It's just a disappointment from my point of view that we didn't win one.
Yeah, but the journey to not winning one isn't that different from the journey to winning one. It's not like you can go back now and pinpoint, geez, if we'd done something in that training session or if that refereeing decision had gone our way, I would have a medal. Does that change you as a person not having a medal, I wonder?
Not at all. Like, you know, we'd fantastic times, like, you know what I mean, as a group. But, like, again, like, it's like, I suppose, maybe if you use it as a checklist or whatever, like, you know what I mean, and you wanted to, that's the way I was. And not everyone is the same, you know what I mean? And, again, the camaraderie, the crack, and the teams and players I was with, it was great, like, you know what I mean? But that said, what did I start doing it for, and what does any player start doing it for in when they start out? They want to win the ultimate, and the ultimate is not a medal, like, you know. And, like, to be fair, if Conor McDonald, from his point of view, wasn't saying that, you know what I mean? Why is he bother playing with it? And obviously he is, like, you know. But so, as we start out here now in January, February again with the inter-county scene, every hurling team is looking at that, you know what I mean? And they want to be the best. Everyone wants to be the best, and they want to have something to show for it at the end of the year. And I was like that, harshly so maybe, but that was my opinion.
But it was worth it.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
You'd do it all again.
Knowing now
that you're not going to get one, you'd still supposed to go to do it.
Yeah, you would. You might try and get there, but 100%. Like, I enjoyed it. I suppose the low points and things like that, you learn an awful lot about yourself, about your team when you lose. 100%. Like, you know, but look, it is. A fella said in the dressing room before, and always stuck with me. It's all about the 10 minutes after that game, like after winning. That's what it's all about. That's 100% is, like, you know, if you weren't into the team ethos, you wouldn't be playing a team sport. And that's what I always found. It wasn't a slip back on an individual thing or anything like that. It was all about the overall medals together.
Yeah, I wonder when you kind of think about it that way, that's what makes winning so special, is that not everybody can have it. Knowing that this is exclusive to you, whether it's a Munster Championship for that year or an All-Ireland Championship for that year, knowing that there will be people who don't have any of these medals, like, that's probably what makes it so great, the level of risk that is involved beforehand.
Yeah, and again, I always sum up the going back to the individual stuff. Like, you can always debate an All-Star, or you can say, he wasn't good enough, or that fella should be in the team in a decade, or this fella was better, or he was a much better hurler. But you can't really, well, you definitely can't debate an All-Ireland final. And that's the thing, like, you get to the summit and people say, oh, it wasn't a great hurling championship, or it wasn't a great football championship. But, like, no one's saying, oh, they don't deserve to win it, like, you know what I mean? You get your just rewards, like, as a team, and you have the medal to prove it, and no one can argue with that.
The All-Ireland final, is that a game that haunts you in any way, or are you happy enough that you gave your best on that day?
In 2017, it is disappointing looking back, but again, I would always go with the best team always wins. You can't make excuses for it, you know what I mean? Like, Galway were the better team, they got off to a good start. Look, there's always opportunities. If we did this or if we did that, we could have had a chance, but could have, should have, isn't any good. It's all about the team that comes out on top, and we weren't good enough on the day, and you have to take it on the chin.
Your team was one of the most dissected in the media of any of the Irish sports teams over the last two decades, because you were trying something different, and when it worked, the team got credit, and when there was any kind of kink in it at all whatsoever, the hurling cognoscenti were out going, oh, this is ridiculous, can't this? What are they trying to do? They're ruining the game. What was it like to be on the inside of that?
Again, now, I'm not a huge person. Today is probably an unusual journey for me in terms of into the media world and things like that. I would have shunned it during my hurling career, and I'm definitely not a social media man, so I probably would have escaped a lot of that. Obviously, I listen to yourselves an awful lot now.
Were people not saying it to you on the street, though? And were your mates not going, Jesus, what's with this?
Look, people always do. And like, this is the thing. Like, people always challenge things differently. Like, you know, in fairness, we were inside in a setup, and we enjoyed it. We were very together as a group of players. And people, you'll always have people giving out. Like, you know, when we were, like, when Waterford were playing the fantastic hurling in 07, like, the noughties, like, people would have said, yeah, they're fantastic, but they concede an awful lot, like, you know what I mean? So I suppose there's two sides to it. I see it at the football at the moment, like, the people are very critical of it, whereas I find it very interesting how you get around this blanket defence. And like, this is the thing, it depends on what you want. Like I was at the Club All Ireland, and you know, you'd have to, like, Cora Finn came out on top, like, but you have to admire, I can't even think of Kilcoo, the way they went about it. Like, yeah, it's all, look, it's not for some, fights. It's not for some, and unfortunately, I'm of the opinion that a lot of people aren't. I like winning, and I suppose you do what it takes, which is not for everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah. So in the middle of that, you kind of had no doubts. There was no outside noise getting into the camp going, Jesus, maybe they're right.
No, like, in fairness, like, for me anyway, we believed in what we were doing. We believed in Derek and what he was trying to do with ourselves, and like, we were happy to do it. And we were, like, to be fair, during that time, particularly during Derek's time, like, we were very close to winning certain games, like, you know what I mean? And you know, the scoring, particularly the year we got to All-Ireland, like, the scoring prowess of Waterford was fairly good that year, like, you know what I mean? It was up there. Like, I don't know what we got against Cork in the semi-final, but it was a big score, like, you know. And there was plenty of goal opportunities. But people, unfortunately, people see something and they like to go on the negative. And everyone is entitled to their opinion, don't get me wrong. But people overemphasize it, and if someone is not for it, they go against it. But like, if a team, if people have so much issues with it, just go and beat it themselves, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just, like, you have to adapt whatever way a team plays nowadays, and that's the way it is. Like, gone are the days you can be guaranteed that no team in Ireland at the moment, in hurling or football or in any sport, go out and catch the ball and lamp it up the field and then run after it, and they have to try and win it. Everton is too a tactical aspect of it, and people hone in on the negative side of things a lot, you know.
But if you look at the Wexford Tipperary game last year, Wexford are supposed to be the equivalent of the Black Death of to some hurling people, because they've got sweepers and sometimes they play with two. And that game was one of the best games that we've had in recent years. They scored an astoundingly good goal, and you can see that Davey's already moving things on. So, like, that's how the game evolves and develops.
Exactly. And, like, look, like, the other side of things, people like to emphasise things that they don't see in their own team or in the traditional teams. Like, you know, a lot of other teams, and now I'm no interest in talking about sweepers or anything like that, but a lot of teams, they play, I used to play as a centre-back, and I was probably very defensive as a centre-back, but it was akin to a lot of other teams at the time, and still, even last year's All-Ireland, like, a lot of teams, like, I was watching Limerick last weekend, and you'd have to be very impressed with the way they play, but they're very solid as a back unit, and they have the players that get up and get down. Like, even Kilkenny, like, you know, who I admire, I work a lot in Kilkenny, actually. I know a lot of the players, but they were fantastic at covering, working back, but working forward, like, you know. And they had the in their armoury to be able to launch the ball high and long, and had the ability to win it. The ball stuck even if it was on two on one man, particularly during the noughties and early last decade, like, you know what I mean? They were brilliant at winning that high ball even when they were outnumbered.
Were they the best team that you played against?
Kilkenny. Actually, look, in fairness, you can't argue with it. The stats are there. However, sure, Henry Shefflin probably won 10 All-Ireland medals while I was playing, like, you know what I mean? So you can't argue with that. They were a fantastic team, like, you know. But, like, again, things change. You look at it now, and Tipper, obviously, coming off a great win last year, and they've two losses already in the league, like, you know what I mean? And they're playing, I was hugely impressed with Limerick last Sunday, but it's only January and February, you know what I mean? So a lot can change. You see it last year, everyone was talking about Limerick and came up short last year in the quarterfinal against Kilkenny, was it? And you know, that just goes to show Kilkenny biting back. So you never know it with hurling. Unfortunately, I suppose, if you're being realistic, there's probably only four teams maybe that can win it. But you're in a championship that they can all beat each other at some stage throughout it, and they will.
Well, that's what we want. I have two quick questions for you. The football people in the office, him included, want a sin bin or a black card in hurling.
I personally think don't miss it. Hurling is meant to be the fastest field sport, and it's left go. And I think at the moment what's wrong, but a little bit tampering with it. I see the referees, and the referees mightn't think I'm the best fella in the world to be saying on this, but they have assessors, and they're assessing them in slow down time, and like a lot of stuff that you could do in hurling with a hurley that can go anywhere is accidental, like, you know what I mean, within reason. Now, you know, it can swing, it can move, it can hit a fella in the head, it can get sent off. I saw someone getting sent off now, can't you? Or the clear match, Sean Conlon, like, that wasn't, I'd be amazed if John Conlon tried that. He didn't, you know.
This
what I mean,
not Irish dancing is what you're saying.
Well, like, what happens then with black cards is it brings diving into it a bit, like, you know what I mean. And with the best will in the world, you'd love to think it wouldn't. It does, like, you know what I mean. It just brings it in. And I think if you can leave it go, but my point on the assessors is they're not looking at it in real time, and they're slowing it down. They're saying, well, you should have done that. So they're scrutinised a lot, the referees, and it is hard to manage it. Like, hurling is a fast sport, and I suppose if you went through an inter-county game, which is very fast, versus a club game, if a lot of the altercations that happened in inter-county happened in club, you would probably be blowing the whistle every 30 seconds because the referee can see it that much more. And you see it in the club games in the winter when the score is 115 to 116 and the free taker gets 12 points, like, yeah. You know what I mean? And that's what happens. I just think, and don't get me wrong, you have to be realistic. You can't leave free rein and you can't leave it go wild, but you have to leave it go. That's why people enjoy hurling, and that's why the football gets maybe unfair criticism. Like, I enjoy the football, I really do. But like, then the referees, they have to, because they're technical fouls, yeah. But they're blowing the whistle. But then if you analyse a game and see the first 20 minutes in terms of no freeze, and the last 20 minutes in terms of freeze every 30 seconds that are left go, because everyone's leave them at it, and I suppose it's quicker at the start as well, and it's frantic, and there's no freeze given within reason, and then at the end it's free.
Yeah. I think what you're meant to say is the football people at the office are wondering if you're coming back to play with the Watford footballers at any point.
And they definitely wouldn't want me.
No. Now that you've got this media day out, are you going to do more of it? It seems like you enjoy it.
Ah, sure. Look, it's new. I'll probably get slated for all the wrong stuff I said.
It's good to be wrong, you know.
Yeah, it's good to be wrong. Look, I've never really put myself out on this side of things before.
And why not?
I suppose I was brought up in the era where generally a fella spoke to the media and he had a big full page article on the Saturday or Sunday, and he went out on the Sunday and he was desperate. That's what I was brought up in.
But Larkhor was scored a hat trick after doing the double page spread.
Yeah,
in the Ireland final.
Yeah, and it can happen. And to be fair, that's what I was going to say. Like, some people, and particularly nowadays, they're able to carry that lot more. And like, I could say something crazy today with the way the media has gone, and tomorrow no one will care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I could say I'm taking over this show tomorrow, and it'll be gone tomorrow. So
you're welcome to it if you want.
I hear the money is big, but yeah, that's the way it is now. You know.
So if you want to give us something that we can turn into a story for the next 24 hours,
I'm too bland for that now. You know, for you.
Those Kilkenny feckers whatever you want. Well, you're always welcome back. Brick is retired. Michael West, thanks very much for joining us.
No matter. Thanks very much. Thanks, Liz.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio. That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.